John Van Dam wants you to know that he is here for you. Whatever's on your mind, whatever's bothering you, whatever you're going through right now, he wants you to know that you can always pretend that he is listening and gives a damn. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
I'm over here.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, my eyes are up here. Hey, I'm over here. Welcome to the, Oh, it's the Ron Van Dam Show. I almost forgot. On today's show, I'm going to show you 700 things to do with popsicle sticks. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. It is a Ron Van Dam Show. That I know for sure. Beyond that, it gets a little sketchy. Well, how are you today? Don't answer, I can't hear you. Pleasure to be with you today on this fine, fine day in September 1927. Yes, it is only 1927. I can't wait for 1928. Oh, I'm so old. This is the 2020s. How did this happen? How did we get all the way up here? Oh, my God. Oh. All right, welcome to the show. You are looking really kind of attractive today, I must say. How do I know that? Well, embedded in every single speaker, and certainly embedded in every cable box and cell phone, there is a camera, and I can see exactly what you're doing. Hey, yes, put that down. Put that down. See, I can tell exactly what you're doing. There is a little camera. I can watch it anytime I wish. It's been embedded also into the vaccine. Did you know that? Yes, there's a homing device that has been embedded in the Pfizer vaccine. Can you believe people actually are going with that? They actually think that's true? I mean, okay, I understand paranoia. Maybe can't spell it, but I do understand it. You are beyond paranoia if that's what you think. You need to see somebody like a psychiatrist immediately. I got to tell you something, just between you and me and the hundreds of thousands of people that are listening. I've always wanted to do two things in life, two professions. Three. Obviously, I always wanted to be Pope. Still have not become a Pope yet, but I'm hoping. I did put in the application. I've told you on so many shows before, I really want to be the Pope because it's an automatic leader. Everybody loves you. There's nobody. Nobody says, I'm Jewish. I don't really believe, the Pope thing, but I respect the Pope. Nice guy. Yeah, I would love that. When you're president or leader of a country, people hate your guts. They want to kill you. But the Pope, nobody wants to touch the man. He's fine. I mean, they want to touch him, but I mean, they don't. Nobody hates him. Unfortunately, if you're a woman, I hate to tell you this. I don't know if you realize this or not. If you're a woman, you can't become the Pope. Why even live? You ladies, you would not want to become the Pope. It's not your thing. The Pope has to wear the same thing every day. That would drive you crazy. I know you like to change your clothes a lot. You like to go into your walk-in closet, and you like to choose what you're going to wear for the next 10 minutes. You can't do that as the Pope. You got to wear the same thing all the time. You would not like it, ladies. You would not like it. Oh, my God. Oh, you would hate it. You would hate it. So anyway, I would love to be the Pope. I don't have to be the Pope for a long time. Maybe a day. Pope for a day. That kind of thing. Like a contest you can win. But I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen. But anyway, I've always wanted to be the Pope. Feather in the cap. Go down in history. People listen to you. People love you. I would love it. But I will never become the Pope. The two other things that I really wanted to be in my lifetime, and I kind of could be these things. I've always wanted to be in a rock and roll band. Ooh, that would have been so much fun when I was younger, before, you know, I made a commitment to another person, you know, like made a commitment to my wife, you know, it shall be your vagina and your vagina only. It's quite a commitment. Yeah, I mean, you're not putting a ring on her finger. You're putting a ring on her vagina is really what you're doing. But before that, it would have been great to be in a rock and roll band and just play music, just like let it all out. Just let your body flow through your craft, through your music, and there'd be like fans. Not house fans, but you know, people who would love your music. They only the people that love your music would show up to concerts. Have you realized that people at concerts, the audience loves you because they follow you. They love your music. People who hate you don't show up at your concert. So it's a love fest of people that just love what you do. What a swarming of love that is towards you. No matter what instrument you play, it's just you have solos and people are just riveted to your talent. And then of course, after you give the performance on a stage, you go back to your hotel room because you travel a lot, you know, you get a lot of travel points. You go back to your hotel room and there are all kinds of women just waiting to have passionate sex with you. All they want to do is have sex with you. I mean, what a wonderful life. Yeah, and the bad part is the alcohol and the drugs and all that stuff, but you don't have to do that. You should, but you don't have to. But if you're a guy, I mean, the women just fall all over you. It's like termites. It's like you can't avoid them. You're going to step on them no matter which way you look. And if you're a female and you're in a female band, you got guys that just want, you know, and women, and oh, it's just an accolade of love and appreciation, and you are wonderful. They put you on a pedestal. I love being put on pedestals. I love the pedestal idea. Who doesn't want to be on a pedestal?
Well, Ron, you know, the higher you go on the chain of success, that means the further you can fall to the off the pedestal.
I know, I understand that. Yeah.
But I would love to be a rock musician. You know, I just think that would be fantastic.
The only bad thing about being a rock musician is you have hearing loss almost immediately, because everything's so loud, and you end up the rest of your life walking around going, "Why? Huh? Why? Why'd you say? What?"
It's a little embarrassing, but you do that when you get older anyway, so I don't know. Anyway, what I
really could be and kind of am is a psychologist.
Let me explain that to you. Do you have the time? Excuse me. Hey, excuse me. I'm talking. I would love to be a psychologist. I would love to listen to other people's problems all day. And the reason I would love to do that is at the end of the day, I'd look in the mirror and say, those are some fucked up people. In comparison, I'm pretty good. That's what I'd love to say. Because what is life except a comparison to other people? Whoa, at least I don't have it that bad. Whoa, that's a smack in the face of reality. I shouldn't complain about anything at all. Look at those people. What am I complaining about? Yeah, I know, it's a hard way of going through life, but it's true. Anyway, I wanted to be a psychologist, and I've been doing radio for like 35 years now, and what is that other than being a psychologist? People call you, I mean, I don't do call-in shows anymore. That was difficult, but I used to do them, and people would call up and ask questions and want my opinion on things, as if I were better than they were. Happened to be that I was, but also, you know, as if, and I was. So I would give advice like I was some kind of seasoned professional in life. My credentials were that I had interviewed thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people and professionals and experts in every single field. So did I have kind of an up on knowing things? Yeah, I did. I did a morning show for decades, and I would get up early in the morning, and producers would tell me what news was going on around me, and we'd chart out what we were going to talk about, and I'd go on the air, and I'd be fed all these experts and all this information. So I did know more stuff than you did. So I wanted to be a psychologist at that point, and then I realized very quickly, talking to a friend, I realized that I don't want to be a psychologist. Why would I care about anybody else's problems? It's difficult. There are some jobs that you have to be cold and heartless. I could never be a gynecologist. I mean, every guy thinks, ooh, I'd love to be a gynecologist. Are you kidding me? Whoa, spend my whole day down there in the South? Come on, man. Who wouldn't? You wouldn't. You really wouldn't. It becomes so clinical that I think all the joy goes out the window. So now I'm starting. It's like a bucket list. I've talked about this before. Some people make a list of things that they want to do in their lives, and they actually put a check mark next to them when they achieve it. Skydiving. I want to skydive. Being the Pope. I can check mark that. I was the Pope. You know, all that stuff. They have a bucket list. Well, I have the opposite. I have a fuck it list. I write down the things that I will never, ever do and never want to do them. The list is huge. Write it down on a piece of paper? No, we're talking about a scroll. I mean, there are a lot of things I don't ever want to do, have never done them, avoid them at any cost. So here's the odd part of of my speech today. Everything that I wanted to do in my life, I now realize these items are now on the list of things I actually really didn't ever want to do. Either because I've done them and I realized, hey, I didn't want to do that. It's like skydiving. I never wanted to skydive. I can't imagine jumping out of a plane and falling to my almost death, and a piece of cloth saves my ass at the very end. Well, Ron, you feel like you're flying. That's for dreams, not for really happening. Whether you believe in a deity or not, I don't see any wings coming out of my shoulder blades, okay? So maybe that's not the right idea. Nice concept, wouldn't want to do it. But some people love to skydive. And then they say, oh, I want to do it again. Hey, guess what I'm going to do for my 80th birthday? Breathe? No, I want to skydive. Okay, I wanted to be a psychologist. I think you'd be my first patient. What the hell are you doing? Skydive? You break your bones bending down to pick up the newspaper off the front steps. I'm sorry, millennials. Newspapers used to be printed on paper and they would deliver it to your front step. And then you'd sit down in a chair and you'd read the newspaper with your eyes. Yeah, it wasn't all on the internet. No, it wasn't always like that, kids. I have to explain things to them because millennials, see, before they were born, they didn't think anything existed. But there were newspapers, kids. Not everything was online. The only thing online was laundry. Was the wash. Ooh, sometimes I'll be driving through a neighborhood that isn't necessarily that posh. And you see in the backyard, you see people's clothes hanging on a line, on a clothesline. You feel like rolling down the window. I'm sorry. Windows don't roll down anymore. You feel like pressing the button so the window goes down. And you feel like shouting out the window, hey, they sell washing machines and dryers now. But don't do that. It's not sensitive. Knew a woman who had a washing machine. And she would wash the clothes in the washing machine. And she had a dryer but never used it. What she did was she would take the clothes when they were finished in the washing machine and hang them up on a clothing line in the basement to let them dry. And we kept saying to her, you don't hang them up to dry in the basement. It's musty down there. You're supposed to do it outside for the fresh air. If you're going to do that, do you wonder? And they do make dryers now. You actually have one. Why don't you use it? Okay. All right. Anyway, welcome to the program. I know. Yeah, I could not be a psychologist and listen to people's problems all day. I thought I wanted to be one. Now I definitely don't. Oh, come on. Are you serious? When I meet a neighbor, in the street, we're walking our dogs. I meet a neighbor. This is fictitious. I'm making this up. When I meet my neighbor, I say, how you doing? Oh, I'm okay. How are you doing? Fine. What's new? And then they talk for 3 hours, and then you say to yourself, I should have never asked this person how they're doing. They just won't shut up about themselves. That's a psychologist. You sit in a chair and you hear somebody else's problems for an hour. And the only thing you ever say to them is, well, what do you think about that? Well, what do you think about that? What do you think about that? My response would be, well, I'm paying you a lot of money to listen to me. What do you think about that? Well, no, that's not my job. My job is to sit here, collect your money, and just say to you, well, what do you think about that? And then at the end of it all, I say, our time is up. That's what I'm supposed to do. I thought that would be a wonderful job, and then I realized listening to other people's problems all day, that's a curse. You might as well whip out a Ouija board and invite the devil over for dinner, because the real curse is listening to other people's problems all day. A horrible concept that is. No, man, not for me. I'm off the subject. I'm going to another subject now. This happened to me like a little while ago. It wasn't yesterday, I'll be honest with you. It was a little while ago. When I was a colicky kid, has nothing to do with anything. So I have a lot of gas. I can control it. Don't worry about it. Don't you worry. But I have a lot of gas, and every once in a while, I'll get hiccups. Not frequently, maybe once every 17 years. Like the cicada bugs. Not that the cicada bugs get gas. I'm just saying that's how frequent. I will get the hiccups. I don't know why. In our society, when someone has the hiccups, what's your immediate assumption? They didn't eat probably. They have bad digestion habits. No, that's not what we think. When someone has the hiccups, you think that they're drunk. You think they had too much to drink and they start hiccuping. That's what we all think. We've all had hiccups when we haven't been drinking at all. We know that's not really the reason. It could be, but it's usually not. So I'm sitting at a bar and I'm having a drink. I'm having some vodka. Not straight out of the bottle. It was poured to me by the bartender. And I'm sitting there and I'm having a drink. And all of a sudden I get the hiccups for no reason whatsoever. I swear there was no reason whatsoever. And I'm starting to hiccup. And when you hiccup, it's sporadic and it's loud. And I can feel people staring at me at that point, other people at the bar. Guys had too much to drink. Oh, my God. Oh, call him a cab. Oh, my God. He's a cab. Call him a cab. That guy cannot drink. Oh, that guy cannot drive. I don't care whether he drinks too much or not. I don't think he can actually drive. I don't think he knows how. Look at him. He's a drunken, stupid. Look at him. He can't handle his alcohol. The minute part of society is sitting on that bar stool. Look at that slob. That illegitimate piece of crap was hiccuping and to shut the guy off, stop him from drinking. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Yeah, that's what I felt. So I called the bartender over and I said, quickly, can I get a glass of water? I seem to have the hiccups. The bartender comes over with a glass of water like a Heimlich maneuver. And I can see in the bartender's eyes, well, this guy ain't going to drink anymore. I'm not getting this guy another drink. Look, he's got the hiccups. It was very, very embarrassing. Did that ever happen to you? No? Just me? Oh, boy. Now I'm really embarrassed. Shouldn't have brought it up. Okay, my guest is going to join us momentarily, and it might be some information that you can do something with. Probably not, but I always keep that. Hope alive. I'll be right back after these words with our guest.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Dr. Jamie Rutland joins us. He's a triple board certified doctor in internal medicine, pulmonary, and critical care. And he's an expert in asthma, and I'll tell you why that's going to come into play in just a second. And Jennifer is here as well, who is also going to come into play in our conversation. We're talking about asthma because we're getting into a season in most of the country where the asthma starts becoming a little bit more difficult to deal with. Am I right in that assumption?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, asthma during September, you know, we call it peak week. Oh. And during September, because kids are going back to school, you've got respiratory viruses around, you've got certain antigens in the air, grasses in the air. A lot of people present to my office that have severe asthma symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can imagine. And I guess allergies and colds are just that much worse when you have that particular concern.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, that's exactly what peak week represents, right? Peak week represents people who have significant allergies and colds. And in fact, I do think that one of our patients who's on the line with us, Jennifer, is going through just that. Jennifer?
Hey, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Hi. Jennifer, is this the worst time? I would think the spring would be kind of bad because everything starts blooming and the ragweed and stuff, but September, not good, huh?
No. We call it peak week, and it's the third week of September. And it's funny because every year I struggle, and it's really difficult because I always think, oh, gosh, you know, here we go again. It's sort of this perfect storm of asthma triggers because of the changing seasons and the allergens in the air. And I'm constantly changing my plans and I'm worrying about what I'm going to do because it might trigger my asthma. In fact, actually just recently I had to cancel plans to attend some outdoor fun with some friends. And because the allergens and the smoke was just so bad. And honestly, it's just not how I want to live my life. So every September I always work with my doctor on my asthma action plan.
Mm-hmm. And doctor, are there indeed ways to handle this?
You know, there are ways to handle this, but one of the things I think is most important is educating yourself. And one of the sites that I go to for education is called breakthecycle.com. And on breakthecycle.com, there are resources like the AirQ questionnaire, which helps us understand whether your asthma is under control.
Mm-hmm.
The reason this is important is because not all severe asthma is the same. Asthma, or severe asthma for that matter, which is basically presents in 2.5 million people in the United States, it's a heterogeneous disease. So there's not a one-size-fits-all driver. And it's as a result of antigens in the air causing inflammation in your lungs, which people will show us by wheezing and coughing and becoming short of breath. And we really want to spend some time understanding what we can do about that. And breakthecycle.com is a site which helps us all.
Is this age sensitive at all? I'll ask you, Jennifer. Did you have this as a child?
I did. I was diagnosed really early, about the age of 3, and I'm 40 now.
Mm-hmm.
But I went undiagnosed with severe asthma for a very long time because, you know, asthma isn't always one size fits all.
Right.
And asthma, as we know it, has sort of evolved and changed. And now that I've got the proper diagnosis, my treatment's getting much better.
Good, good. Yeah, I mean, doctor, I understand that you have to know where you're at and what your arsenal must be in order to make this a situation that is, you know, is less conflictive to your life. Would one know that they have asthma? In other words, do you have to suffer greatly in order to know, or can you have asthma and it's not, you not really don't even realize it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people are resilient. A lot of people are very strong.
Uh-huh.
And so people are walking around their world suffering from asthma, and they don't even think about that this could be asthma.
Uh-huh.
They're wheezing, they're coughing, and they just think, oh, I just got a little bit of allergy, or I have a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
They end up in your office, and all you hear are just awful symptoms of asthma.
Yeah.
And that's why I think education on sites like breakthecycle.com is very important. Because it helps people understand, oh, wait a second, there is something wrong and I need to do something about this because this is a serious condition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that education is the utmost importance.
With the COVID thing, and then we got the flu on our doorstep, I mean, I assume that you advocate vaccinations, flu, for example, for people who have asthma concerns?
Yeah, of course. I mean, when we think about the lungs in general, the lungs are essentially a bunch of pipes that lead to a bunch of balloons stacked on top of one another.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you have inflammation as a result of asthma in those pipes, whenever you're surrounded by any respiratory virus, including influenza, including SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID, that is just going to aggravate those airways more, mm-hmm. and it can put you into an asthma exacerbation, and right. then you'll be presenting to my office, or you'll be seeing me in the hospital.
Yeah.
So it is important for people to understand what their body is going through, mm-hmm. and visit breakthecycle.com for resources like that AirQ questionnaire.
Excellent. So, all right, one more time, that website. You said it a number of times, but now let's make it official.
www.breakthecycle.com.
Okay, excellent. All right. You know, it's peak season to see the leaves change colors, but it's not peak season that's that enjoyable for what we're talking about. So I'm glad that you're bringing this to the front. And Jennifer, especially to you, thank you so much for talking about it. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful as usual. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Yes, I will. Don't argue with me. But until then, I wish you peace.